the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. You know, one of the things that is always wonderful is when you have, like we had the pandemic and now we have people stuck in cold weather, to have a great suspense book. Nothing takes your mind away from things better than a book of suspense. And so I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Kara Reinhardt. And the name of her book is The Den. It is just a fun read. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay. I love to read. I read so many different types of books. But there comes a time always when I just want to curl up, pull a blanket over my knees, and just lean back and read a suspense because I know it's going to keep my mind really occupied.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
Let's talk about The Den. I never know what to say. I don't want to give away too much. You know, ever since I read Agatha Christie, of course, I fell in love with books about wills and heirs and all of that. So tell us about The Den.
Sure. So The Den follows the Fox family. And they're a wealthy family who lives in a posh suburban neighborhood in the suburb of Pittsburgh. And the town is actually called Fox Chapel. So something I do is I kind of make the town a character in the story. And Fox Chapel was actually settled by the Fox family, the original Fox family. And none of these siblings get along. They're a very dysfunctional, wealthy family. Think Succession meets Knives Out. That's how the book was originally pitched. And they're forced back together when their father becomes ill. So he has a heart attack, and all the siblings are forced to come back together. There are four of them. There's the natural heir to the the Fox dynasty, and that is Christian. And then there's the first sister, Valerie, who is the good sister. And then you have the last two who kind of, you know, haven't performed as well in life, Jeremy, who has a drug addiction, and Lucy, who's sort of a black sheep, who moved far, far away, went into the entertainment industry, wants nothing to do with her siblings. And when they're brought together, they find out about this trust, because their father had originally told them he wasn't leaving them any money, but they had to go out and make it themselves. And the hidden trust is called The Den, you know, for the Fox family. And disclaimer is read that if one of the Fox siblings would perish before the father, that the rest of the siblings would split the remaining share. So as you can imagine, when the father's on the deathbed, things start happening to the siblings.
Okay, well, that's what's fun. That's what makes it fun. We have to have a body drop or two bodies, but it's just fun. And you never know who's going to go. So when you get into this story, of course, you've done some really nice world building here with this town and this family and the house. This is fun, isn't it? To come out with an idea and then to have to sort of populated.
I will say I've had the most fun of any book I've written writing this one. I had the most fun creating these characters. I haven't written too many books where I find myself kind of chuckling as I'm creating the dialogue. There was so much strife between these siblings, you know, more so than I originally intended when I started writing the book. So yeah, it was a ton of fun to write.
Well, sometimes that's what happens. You develop a character and they sort of take over and then they start feeding you the dialogue.
That really is true. And people, I think, who aren't writers don't understand that. They really do kind of take on their own personality and lead you as the writer versus the other way around.
Of course, one of the things, you have to keep track of everything. And with a suspense, you also have to throw in some red herrings and throw in some Easter eggs to sort of keep everything moving along, right?
Correct. Yes, exactly. And, you know, there were multiple points of view in this book, which is an extra hurdle because you have to remember who said what and keep that all straight as well. So yeah, exactly. That was definitely a challenge of writing the book.
So whose voice did you find easiest to write?
I found Lucy's easiest to write. She's the fish out of water, black sheep of the family, and, you know, very different than myself, but I just really had a lot of fun writing her, I think, because she was such a spirited character.
It was just November, and a lot of people participated in NaNoWriMo, and quite a few of my listeners did. They are so excited that they've, you know, finished a book. And, you know, I had to tell them, yeah, it's just a start.
Oh, my goodness. These agents, they always say they kind of fear the books that they get submitted in December because they're afraid that they were NaNoWriMo books that people just completed in November. Because it's just like, listen, guys, those books are not ready for prime time. Like, I know you're excited about the idea, and, you know, you might have written it really quickly, but that would be my advice, is to take a step back, maybe use December to edit, and kind of submit in the new year.
And probably a little bit later than that. Because
right.
I like in your book at the end, you really acknowledge the people who helped you along the way. You know, people who are just starting writing, they don't read those acknowledgments at the back, so they don't realize how many people are involved.
Right. I actually just released an article with women's writers, and it's called 1073, and it just talks about that it took 10 years, 7 manuscripts, and 3 agents before I finally got my my breakthrough novel. So it really is a long, concerted effort. It's not a race. You know, and there have been a lot of people's eyes on everything I've written to get it to the point that it's ready for publication.
That's a great title, 1073. And what magazine is it in?
Women's Writers Association. It's WWA. They're mostly online. Barbara Bose heads up that online. It's specifically for women writers.
Okay, well, that's something that a lot of my listeners definitely should look into. Do you have it on your blog, on your website? Because you have a nice website.
You know what? I need to add it. It just came out, so I definitely need to add it. But I will certainly do that. I'll make a note to put it on there if you think it would be helpful to your listeners.
Absolutely. Because, as you said, 1073, you have to be realistic. It's not very seldom do you have an overnight success. It's a learning process, and I'm sure that you've learned a lot over these years and developed and gotten better. Where do you feel that your writing has gotten better? Were you better at dialogue in the beginning? What area of writing do you enjoy the most?
I really do love character building. My novels are almost always character-driven novels, so really building in characters that you can follow, that you can really get invested in. That's really... I think my specialty, and I'd say something that I've really tried to work on as my writing has progressed, is pacing. You know, with thrillers, a lot of people want things very quick pace. And I recently took some screenwriting classes that actually helped me with that, really cutting the fat, cutting out anything that you don't need, and giving the reader just enough, you know, to kind of keep them hanging on.
You really learn a lot from practicing screenwriting. Now, it's not easy to become a screenwriter. You know, I was in Hollywood. I adapted some books, and it's a specialty. But you do learn a lot, and you're right about pacing, about cutting out the unnecessary parts, and honing every paragraph. I had 5 of my listeners who finished NaNoWriMo, but they still sometimes don't understand that sometimes you write a paragraph many times. Correct?
Oh yes. You know, I look back on something that I wrote, I've been working on something, and I was sure it was done, and I cut like 4 paragraphs. I'm like, I don't need this. You don't realize it at the time. You're basically building your own backstory for yourself, and you don't realize that that's not something that you need right there. You can build that in later or get that in a different way than, you know, putting it all at the front.
One of the joys, actually, I think, of writing is that editing process. If you embrace it with the right attitude, that you're getting better all the time.
Right, yeah. I think Stephen King called it, you know, cutting out the weeds or weeding your garden, you know, taking out adverbs and just words that aren't necessary to get the point across.
Are you using Word?
Yeah. I just use Word. I don't use anything fancy. I probably sound pretty structured, but I'm actually more of a pantser, right, by the seat of my pants and then go back and edit. I've tried using very detailed synopsises. I've had to submit them to my publisher in order to get future contracts. But if I'm to be honest, I prefer just having like a firm idea of a beginning and an end and kind of just letting myself go and then going back and fine-tuning all the details.
Your first book that was accepted, What was that moment like for you?
It was insane because it had been 10 years of submitting material, partnering with 3 different agents, and going through writing 7 different books. I almost couldn't believe it because that book sold in a matter of months after all that time. It went out on submission, and it got multiple offers. You know, after being rejected all those years, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? Did?
Oh, that's nice. To get multiple offers, that gives you a tingle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Like, I remember exactly where I was. We went to a college football game at Penn State University. It was the first time my kids were there. We had taken the weekend off, and I was in this beautiful garden. You have these gardens there. And I got the phone call from my agent. And my husband was actually there, and he took a picture of me, like, getting this phone call because he knew, you know. And it was just one of those moments that, you know, you really remember.
That's exciting. This is the wonderful thing about being a writer. You work, you study your craft, you get better. But once you get going, you can keep going. In February, one of my guests was a 99-year-old writer, Eugenia Lovett West, who wrote a mystery about cybercrime at 99.
Wow.
Isn't
that story?
That's so wonderful, really, when you think about it, the joy that writing gives.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can continue to do your entire life, you know, if you want to, into retirement. It's not something that you age out of. And I think that that's wonderful, too.
Agatha Christie certainly didn't age out of it. And, of course, I'm sure that you owe some of your love of suspense writing to Agatha Christie. I think we all do.
Yeah, of course. Paved the way for female mystery writers.
It really is hard to believe that she was born in 1890. She's still so fresh.
Oh, wow. That is actually very surprising to me.
You didn't realize that? I mean, when I tell people 1890, and they're saying, well, it's like she just wrote those books, you know?
I know. And, you know, they bring them back again.
All the time.
They're on the Orient Express, and they're still, you know, reviving it and making movies, and so she does feel like she's still around.
Yeah.
Which I think is also the great thing about being an author, is that your work can continue after you're gone.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're happy, happy, happy people, I think.
Right.
Have you ever seen the painting of her when she was 4 years old?
No, I haven't.
You see her at 4 years old, and she's holding this really creepy doll. I mean, really creepy doll. It's like a hint of what's going to come in her future. She looks like she's going to write a mystery, and she looks like she's somehow involved with a little bit of creepiness. It's a wonderful, wonderful photograph. It was done by a famous artist. If you look at it for a while, you really see her future.
Yeah, I love that. And I've always kind of been attracted to the darker side of things. Christopher Pike, I grew up reading him, and R.L. Stine as well, and actually got a chance to meet R.L. Stine this past summer at Thriller Fest in New York City. And you know, I got to tell him, you're one of the reasons that I started writing what I write, and it was just a pleasure to get to meet, you know, one of your author idols.
Oh, it's always fun, and it's nice now that we can start having conventions again and going to events.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you have an agent, and you know, so you are on a different level than so many indie authors who really have to work hard to build a platform and to. What kind of promotion are you able to do? Are you able to travel again and meet people and get out there?
That was a rough thing for me because I had worked so hard to get that first book, and then I couldn't do any promotional things at all but online. I would say the majority of it is still online, you know, retweeting and Facebook posts. I've been invited to conferences, so I try to attend those when invited. Like I said, I went to Thriller Fest this past summer. I was on an author panel and got to meet a ton of people there, so... It's still hard, you know, once you are in the traditional market, because with each book, you know, it's expected to sell more and more. So you do still feel that pressure to get the next book deal.
Well, I wanted to mention that Sweetwater is really a great read. I love that.
Oh, you read it. That's great.
Well, I tend to do that when I have an author on. If I haven't read the entire oeuvre, I go back and start again. So, yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact, I'm doing that with Agatha Christie this year. I've been reading all of her work from the very beginning, trying to sort of see this development and understand this development, because it is a craft and you get better and you learn a lot. Has there been a particular sentence or paragraph that you've written, rewritten and rewritten?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, for me, this is going to sound crazy, but I have a really hard time writing romance scenes. Like, I absolutely hate writing them. because I like to write thrillers, and in Sweetwater, there is a very powerful romance scene. And I actually consulted my friend who's a romance writer, and, you know, she kind of helped me with it. She's like, no, you can't mention food in a romance scene. Like, you can't mention, like, she's like, oh, that just takes us right out of it. You know, so I struggled with that romance scene, and tend to struggle with any that pop up in my book. Because sometimes they're necessary.
Yeah.
You have to write them, but not my favorite.
Do you find that you use certain words over and over and you have to control yourself?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I will, like, catch myself and then I'll search for them. I think the word such, I used, like, 200 times or something in the den, and I had to go back. And my agent is good at catching that, too. So you're using the word only a lot. So then, you know, it's these little words that we use as filler words that aren't, you know, necessary. So she's good at catching that, too. She'll read it and be like, I just noticed that you use, and she'll, like, mention three, and then I'll go through the manuscript and search for them.
That's the wonderful thing about having a good editor, an agent.
Yeah, my agent's helpful with that. Oh,
absolutely. Now, there, I just used an adverb. Oh, my goodness. I use absolutely. I like that word, but I do use it too often, so you have to be really careful, right?
Right, yeah. In a book, you don't want to overuse words. You want to do word variation, and editors will catch it, but once in a while, you know, you will have, like, a word and then mention it in the next page, and you're like, oh, I should have caught that.
Well, just a joy to talk to you, because I feel this enthusiasm. I'm going to read this article, and I will recommend it to my listeners. You know, I want them to write, but I want them to be realistic and to be hopeful. Keep writing, yeah. Because you get better, and you have fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to keep at it. It's always good to have something else. Writing is something that I do, you know, on the side, you know.
And then you have a wonderful book called The Den, which you have dedicated to your mom, which I love people who dedicate their books to their moms. Right?
My mom is a school teacher, and, you know, she's supported me in everything I've done. So, you know, she deserves a book dedicated to her, because, you know, it's quirky having a writer as a daughter, and I've always been a writer.
I thought that was cute. I love that. I told my son, write a book, dedicate it to me already. So you've done a great job with The Den. When people finish that, they can go to Sweetwater, which is also a great book, because you love this family complication kind of stories, too. And this is a wonderful psychological suspense novel. We didn't give away too many things. It's just fun. You've got clues. You've got everything you need to keep a person really feeling cozy and reading a really great book. So, Kara, I want to thank you for being on Joy on Paper today. Just mention your website so that people know where to get you.
Oh, thanks so much. Yes, my website is just my name. Very easy. It's www.karareinard, which is CarareinArd.com.
Okay. And the name of the book, and you're probably on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, too.
Yep, The Den. Yep. Okay. I am on everything, so.
Okay. Well, thank you again for being on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you. And get out there and just meet some of your fans, because it makes you feel good, doesn't it, when they say nice things to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye, Nakar.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Oh, she's cute. You don't give up. 10 years, it seems like a long time, but you never know. You never know. Now, 10, 7, 3. Wow, this is fantastic. Okay, bye-bye now.